Hello, and welcome to Apparitions and Alibis. I am your host, AJ Stallman, and today is Love Your Pet Day. So with that, I thought I would go to Reddit, the place of really weird stories, and find stories about ghost pets, which just is very intriguing. I personally don't think I've ever felt, you know what, I take that back. I was staying the night one night at a friend's house, and they had recently had a dog that had passed away, and I was laying on her futon, and it was like, I don't know, 2 in the morning, something like that. We just got done playing video games and eating Oreos, and I felt something jump up on the bed at my feet, but there was no animal in the room because the door had been closed for hours. So maybe I got visited by someone else's dog. She was a cute little dog too. But anyways, I'm here. So I got my coffee. I also have water and I have a couple of animals. Let's do this. Okay, so just like other times I've done stories from Reddit, I didn't fully read them when I found them. That way I can kind of be surprised with y'all. The things you gotta do when you're hosting alone, you know, gotta find ways to make it interesting. I also apologize if my sound quality is a little different. I am trying a new setup, so we'll see how it does. But nevertheless, let's get into some stories. So this is from See Us. Almost every night, usually right after I close my eyes, I feel the sensation of a cat walking around my bed. I have a cat, so I know exactly what it feels like when he's prowling around or cuddling next to me. However, this phenomenon occurs when my cat is either sleeping in his bed next to mine or in another room or even asleep next to me. When I feel the sensation of another, most of the time completely invisible, walking around my bed. It usually goes around me in a circle before walking up to my face. I actually feel like it's breathing and sniffing me. I thought nothing of it and even welcomed it. Recently, though, I've been waking up in the middle of the night far more frequently. I woke up during a sort of bad dream, and the ghost cat was sitting on my chest. For the second time ever, I'd actually seen it visually. It looked like a cat, but transparent in a way, like it was cloaked or something. As soon as it realized I had woken up, it ran across my bed, jumped onto the headboard, and disappeared completely. The first time, he simply ran past me while I was at the desk. I turned around to look, and it was gone. I've also had objects move or fall in my room with no one being present, and the entertainment center cabinets opening with no explanation. Lights dimming, and so on. Interestingly, a plumber was working in our basement and found 6 dead cats under the foundation. Apparently, they were able to get in, but not get out. It's a really old building, so who knows how long they've been down there. It doesn't stop there, though, as it seems to follow me into the car on my way to work. I felt pressure like it's sitting on my shoulder while driving, and objects falling over in the back seat despite hitting no bumps or making any turns. It appears to have attached itself to me in some way. Aww, ghost kitty in love. All right, next is by Down the Witch Elm. When I was in 4th grade, we lived in a small house surrounded by an 80-acre field of young orange trees. My stepfather was a tractor driver, and the house came with the job. I came home from school one day to find my mother an emotional wreck just sitting at the kitchen table. My mother was a happy woman, always singing and busy with something around the house. She was clearly upset, and I could tell that she had been crying. I asked her what was wrong, but she wouldn't tell me. My stepfather came home and told us the sad news that he had accidentally killed our little dog. The dog used to follow him while he was working in the fields, and my dad had accidentally dropped the disc on the dog and killed him. When you're discing, you have to raise the disc at the end of the row, drive out of the field, turn into the next row, and then lower the disc with the hydraulic controls on the tractor. You don't ordinarily look behind you when you do this. It just becomes a reflex. When my stepfather told us this, my mom really lost it. She finally told us what had happened. She had taken a load of laundry into the backyard to hang on the clothesline. She was hanging clothes and reached down to pick up another item from the basket when she saw our dog standing there, wagging its tail. Except half of his head was missing. Clearly, he couldn't be alive with half of his head gone. My mother screamed and ran into the house, which was how I found her. After hearing the story, my stepfather told her that he had accidentally dropped the disc on the dog and injured him just in that way. When he got back to the end of the field, he found the dog lying there. It had died instantly. He took a shovel and buried the dog right there. There's no way the dog could have gotten up, walked half a mile to visit my mom, and then turned to the exact spot the disc had hit him and lay down and died. My mom was visited by our dog spirit. I think he just was saying goodbye to someone that he loved. Your poor mom, turning around and seeing an animal that she loves, chilling without half a head, though. I'd be bawling at my kitchen table, too. I can't even imagine. Oh, my God. Okay. On to the next one. This is by Haunted Snail. When I was younger, my family had to move in with my grandpa to get away from an abusive situation. When I was about 9 or 8, my younger sister found a cat in a field by our house. The cat had no collar, and she wasn't too shy. She was very hungry, and my mom didn't want us to feed her because then she would never leave. Minnie became my grandpa's cat. She was so skittish and would only come to him. All of our other cats would run away, get sick, or get attacked. So when my mom turned her back and was out of sight, I snuck a can of food outside and gave it to this cat that was still just sitting at the bottom of the stairs outside. I walked down and gave her the can, and she ate it fast. She was so hungry that the can was actually moving across the cement. Every day I would sneak a can to her and watch her, and I would pet her. I think my mom noticed how fast cans were disappearing, and she decided it was okay to make a bed in the basement. The basement had 2 bedrooms in it, but there were some shelves along the right wall past the chest freezer, washer, and dryer. We had some old clothes that no longer fit us, and we made her a bed. She used it for a while until she started coming into the bedrooms. We gave her the name Trudy because she intruded into our lives. To this day, she was the best cat I ever had. I figured she was about 2 when she was found and probably dropped off because no one put up flyers or anything. She was in my family until I was 17. Trudy stayed with my grandpa after he moved out when I was 10. My grandpa died September 2001. When we cleaned his house and fed Trudy until a week later, we brought her home. Me and Trudy always had a very close connection. When I lived at my grandparents', Trudy liked to bring me gifts of mice, moles, birds, rats, and even a huge-ass rabbit. Trudy was tough. She chased any cat or dog away, and she was a great hunter. The gifts didn't stop after she moved in with us. Bird heads were her favorite. We had the store about 3 blocks away from my house, and I would walk. Trudy would walk along the road in the bushes because I could hear her meow every once in a while. She would go so far and then sit and wait for me to come back. Then on the way back, she would get close enough, I would carry her. I had a dream after my grandpa died, and Trudy came to live with us. The dream was Trudy climbed in the oven, and I grabbed her out. After this dream, Trudy became sick. She lost weight. Trudy was a chunky cat if you didn't feed her. She would hunt. Well-fed and round, she went from 18 pounds to barely 7 pounds in a short period of time. I had another dream of Trudy. I dreamt she again climbed in the oven, and this time I would burn myself trying to get her out, and I wasn't able to save her. Trudy got worms, and that's when it got really bad because I gave her the worm medicine, and that set her cancer over, and it shut down her liver. Oh, Trudy smelled like death She couldn't hold her functions and couldn't jump 2 feet in the air. The night before she was put down, she laid in my arms smelling so bad, but I didn't care. Me and her both knew it was going to happen. I spent all night holding my cat, knowing it was going to be the last time I will ever hold her again. The next day I was at school when my mom was taking Trudy to the vet. I was hoping somehow Trudy would get medicine and be okay and come home, but I knew deep down my hopes were not going to happen. The vet figured Trudy was about 12 years old, so she was at the age that a lot of cats get sick. She had a golf ball sized tumor and it was eating her alive. Then the medicine I gave her did in fact send her liver to failure and her skin turned yellow. They made the choice to put her down. I so badly wanted to be the one to hold her while she fell asleep. She bit the vet as he pricked her with the needle. I was so heartbroken that I cried every night for a long time. I swear I saw her tail at the edge of my bed going along the outside and it wiggled. I looked and there was nothing there. I still feel her lay across my legs almost every night like she used to, doing a good job keeping my legs warm. To this day, 10 years later, I still cry for her. I still feel her, and I believe one day she will come back to me. That one has me tearing up. Oh, sweet Trudy. Okay. On to the next. This one was posted by Ernesto Robert. I'm going with it. All right. Moxie was 14 years old. She was a pit mix, sweet dog with lots of personality. On New Year's Eve, 2020, she suffered a vestibular disease, which refers to a sudden non-progressive disturbance of balance. It's more common in older dogs. It is also referred to as the old dog vestibular syndrome and canine idiopathic vestibular syndrome. Ashton's gonna be so disappointed in me. This happened while I was walking her and the other dog, Kuma, together. We are about half a block from the house when it happened. After the diagnosis on the 1st and January 6th, her health deteriorated. She lost about 20 pounds and refused to relieve herself outside, even with a comfortable sling I had gotten to help her walk and ease my back. She died February 1st around 9 a.m. Sadness was all around. A week later on the 8th, we were in the kitchen making dinner when suddenly her distinct bark of happiness was heard down the hallway from our bedroom. One loud bark. This was something she would do on a regular basis to get our attention so we could help her get on the bed. We both stopped what we were doing and stared at each other. The other dog looked down the hallway also. I said that was Moxie. She says it was. I said she must be saying hello from the afterlife. We both, and Kuma, curiously went to the bedroom, turned on the light, and nothing was there. Moxie. I love pit mixes. I got one. His name is Dionysus, and he's the best in the world. All right. Next. Hot cast iron bitch said, several years ago, I lived in a house in Connecticut with my boyfriend at the time and his family. We had two dogs, a large white pit mix and a small black mini poodle. But on at least two occasions, I'd see a small gray shadow out of the corner of my eye, and I'd glance over at it. I'd see a long-haired cat and think, oh, it's just the cat, and go back to what I was doing. Suddenly, it occurred to me that we didn't have a cat. I glanced back over for half a second later, and it was never anywhere in sight. Also, I currently work in an animal shelter in Boston that's been around since the 1800s, but the current building it's in has been there since the 1950s. There's a huge unorganized basement where our laundry facilities are, and the back half of it is full of historical photos, supplies, donations, etc. Shortly after I first started working here, I would notice something in the basement with one of our volunteers. We heard a meow coming from the back of the basement. We called out several times and listened quietly and never heard anything else. I want to be sure it wasn't a cat that escaped its kennel and somehow ended down there. But I had worked there for 4 years after that happening and I'd never seen any evidence of animals living down there and never had any other experiences. But one time one of our cats escaped a kennel and popped up in a ceiling through a dropped ceiling tile. We had to open up the crawl space and found a cat skeleton in the wall on the first floor. That must have been there since before we had computers, back when the shelter was overflowing with cats. Pretty crazy discovery, though. What if it was the kitty? How long does it take for a cat's body to decompose? Let's look it up. Let's learn. Let's learn together. It can take 6 months to 15 years. Well, it's possible then. That's a very broad time range. All right, on to the next. This is posted by Twink Sama. I've had plenty of paranormal experiences in my 22 years of life. I've always believed in ghosts. Since I was very small, my parents had ghost experiences long before I was born, with photo evidence and plenty of stories. They were never really scary, as their ghosts were benevolent and just made themselves known. Excuse me. For some context to the experience I'm about to share, I have to get into who Sassy was. Sassy was the familiar and pet of my boyfriend's late grandmother, then passed down to his late aunt, who was watching her until he could take her. The way she passed was extremely upsetting, but without getting into too much details, I'll say that my boyfriend's dad hates cats and refused to bring her into their home, so he left her in the home of his late mother and sister and then forgot to feed her. She was found upstairs, passed away in an empty bathtub. This was long before I even met my boyfriend, and as an avid animal lover, I felt a deep sadness knowing that she went through feeling alone and abandoned. I didn't know this. I was later told about the way she passed away. This really upset me, and I wished I had been able to meet her. This was not my only encounter with her, though. Jump forward about 2 years. We've been together, and we've decided to move into his parents' home with them to help them out financially. We now have two kittens of our own and love them dearly. One day I was upstairs, which had been turned into our sort of apartment, and I was chilling on my bed with my two kitties sound asleep on me. My boyfriend had gone downstairs and was talking to his mother. Then I started hearing meows. There were a few, and I mewed back a couple times, confused as my cats were both asleep. They weren't soft or distant. They sounded as though they were right outside our room. When he came back up, I asked if his mom had brought a cat home. He said, no, of course not. Why? I told him I had heard the cat in the house, and it wasn't ours. I believe without a doubt the source of the mews are Sassy. She's never made me feel scared or unsafe. I don't have an issue with her being here. I just thought I'd share my experiences with her and tell people about her because she deserves to be known, even in the afterlife. Poor Sassy. Like, that's so upsetting. For her to pass away like that, like being loved and then her owner passing to moving to an aunt and being taken care of and then just being completely abandoned in an empty home. That's heartbreaking. Okay, this one is by Bon Bons. I've got a long story for you that's not really the same, but I hope you enjoy it anyway because I liked reading your story. I had a cat I loved when I was a child. He was a stray cat in our neighborhood, but for some reason, he actually got along with our mean cat. Since our usually tough cat wouldn't chase him off, we tried to scare him away, using the hose, spraying water, making loud noises, even chasing him. Since my dad didn't want another cat, we thought he had a home at the time, but he was hardly even annoyed by us harassing him and would still hang out in our backyard. After a couple of months, my family even ran an ad in the paper and put some signs up about a found cat. When it became clear that he didn't have a family, we adopted him. We named him Zippy, and he was my boy, so loving and cuddly. He passed away after only a few years with us, when I was about 10, from feline leukemia. I missed him terribly, especially because that disease makes it unsafe to have cats in your house for over a year. Then about 10 years after Zippy passing, a new cat started hanging around in our backyard. This new cat had similar markings and was also a big tomcat. He was timid. It took me 2 months to gain his trust enough to even be within eyesight of him. Eventually, we adopted him, and we named him Boris, after calling him Gray Kitty while gaining his trust with food and pets. Boris is now my sweet boy, and I've had him for about 10 years. He's sweet and cuddly and protective in the same way that Zippy was. Boris even drools like Zippy, and occasionally farts like him, too. I'm convinced they are related. It's not much of a stretch given how bad the feral cat problem was in my neighborhood back then, but I still love the idea that Zippy had come back to me in some way. All right. This one was posted by Frankincense. Frankincense? I have a kitty sitting with me named Frankincense, huh, Mama? She's not impressed. All right. A cat that came to say goodbye. This was years ago. My family owned a sweet orange tabby cat named Simba. He had a few distinct features. He was a bit overweight. He developed black speckles on his nose, and he purred constantly and very loudly. When I tell you this cat sounded like a motorboat, I mean it. It was especially loud when anyone would pet him, of course. He was the nicest cat, and I really loved him. He died suddenly Thanksgiving one year. We found him curled up on the porch in front of the door. We were all shocked, and I was heartbroken because I didn't get to say goodbye. Sometime later, maybe a few weeks, I was at home, and I felt compelled to open the front door. I don't remember if I heard something or just a feeling, but when I opened the door, I saw a chunky orange tabby cat sitting on the porch in front of me, looking at me expectantly. At first, I just thought it was a stray or the neighbor's cat, but of course, my first instinct is to pet the nice cat. When I reached out my hand, he nuzzled against it, and I heard that familiar, crazy loud motorboat purr. I really didn't think it was him at first. I just thought it was a coincidence that this cat similar to him happened to come by, but I was enjoying the moment. Like, this cat gave me an opportunity to remember him fondly, but then I saw his nose. The same black freckles that Simba had. Same pattern of freckles. He started to purr even louder, as if he knew I figured it out. I only had time for a few more pets before he calmly returned and slowly walked off the porch into our bushes in our front yard. I followed and looked under the bushes, but he was gone, just disappeared. He didn't run off, or I would have heard the bushes rustling, or would have seen him, because there's nowhere else to hide in our front yard. It was an open lawn, and I searched the bushes thoroughly to be sure. I think he came back to say goodbye, since he left us so suddenly. It brings a tear to my eye to this day when I think about it. It's a special moment in my life that I cherish. I've had very few unexplainable moments in my life, but I'm happy that this one was rather wholesome than terrifying. Yeah, Simba totally came back. Are you kidding me? Even the same nose freckles? He totally came back to say goodbye. That's really, really sweet. I love these usernames, I just have to say. The next one is posted by Chokers and Butt Stuff. A missing dog, a skeleton, and an animal psychic. I'm so ready for this one. I am a 20-year-old female, and I live in a small Canadian town of 10,000 people most of my life. It's a rural farming community with the bountiful forests and fields are most often my getaway places. I enjoy the outdoors, from going on hikes to planning days out to look for animal bones, but I never thought anything slightly paranormal would come across in my adventures. April 2nd, 2016. The snow had melted before I was slowly woken up by the sun revealing itself for the first time after a long, harsh winter. As I awoke to the light shining through my curtains, I pulled them back to see grass. Sure, it may have been brown and dead in most spots, but I could see the ground and wanted to make the best of my day. Although instantly I had something I can't quite call a desire, but the urge to go out and look for bones. It felt as though something was pulling me into the woods, telling me to come find it, but I dismissed it as my excitement of such a nice day. There were a few spots I had in mind, as the country roads are good for finding old bones or two, so I gathered my things, packed up my bag, and headed out. I live in a neighborhood that's roughly 10 to 15 minute walk that leads out of town to a few trails. I began my walk down the road, keeping an eye out on the passing fields and ditches for anything that might pique my interest. The road I was walking on was a main road that's used quite often, with three houses that sit on a hill leading out of town. One of my favorite homes from my town is one of the three on the hill. Its location is tucked away by trees, but visible from the road. The family has an outdoor chicken coop that always brings a smile to my face whenever I pass it. Continuing on after making my way down the hill past the homes, I was walking along the ditch actively looking for anything that resembled bone. Roughly, not even 5 minutes had passed when I noticed something that looked like a bag, but upon further inspection, I realized I found my first bones of the year. The entire skeleton was intact. I noticed it still had fur on some parts and was trying to piece together what sort of animal it was. Now, because I was in a ditch and due to the skeleton's location, I didn't stay more than a minute or two, but took some photos. I continued walking, but was cut short when a friend called and asked to hang out. I mentioned to her my find and that I would be back in town less than 10 minutes. Walking back, I stopped to sit for a second to glance at the photos. After a few minutes of looking at the teeth and the paws, I was hit with a deep, instant feeling. I knew exactly what I found. I had seen any posters for weeks, but I knew what I found. It was this gut feeling, so strong and assuring, my mind went back to posters I had seen around town. December 2015. I walk everywhere, snow or shine. It was December, the first time I saw the missing poster for a small dog named Squeak. The posters were everywhere. They were laminated, and each time they were taken down, they would be replaced soon after. It was evident whoever owned this dog loved and cared for it, deeply missing their friend. Back to April 2016. After telling my friends about what I discovered, even if it wasn't Squeak, we knew we had to at least contact the owner. I waited 2 days to phone the owner and learned quite a lot. She was a lovely older woman who loved her dog more than life itself. Through our conversations, I learned that Squeak wasn't a local and actually lived an hour away in the heart of Toronto. Had a sister who missed her and also discovered her owners were quite wealthy. Squeak's owners have property down in the States. In October 2015, they were going to their second home in Arizona and dropped both of their dogs off at the animal resort about 20 minutes outside of my town. 2 weeks pass, and they return to pick up their dogs, only to be told that a week earlier, Squeak managed to get up with her sister. Only one could be found, and after a week of the search, it was called off. During the entirety of our phone call, it was clear this lady loved her dog, and even months later, was still using present tense when talking about Squeak. She seemed almost unfazed when I mentioned my discovery. She didn't shut me down or dismiss it. Every lead was important to her, but this was a lady who was really holding on to the hope that her dog was still alive. And what she told me next made me understand. I had never heard of an animal psychic before this incident, but the owner had contacted two. A lady who lives in Arizona and is apparently pretty famous down there, and another local pet psychic from Canada. Their stories were both similar. Squeak was somewhere safe and warm, not far from where she was last seen. They couldn't tell where she was, but they could see she was inside of a house being cared for. Of course, you know, learning that, her hopes and her optimism all made sense. The owner isn't local, so she put me into contact with a lost dog search group that had been looking for and spreading the word of Squeak's disappearance. The owner and I said our goodbye, and I get to calling the local search group. This is where things got weird. I called the searcher that Squeak's owner had put me in contact with, explained the story to her, and agreed to meet in an hour's time so I could take her the remains I found. I was giving her the directions to the road and casually mentioned the house with the outdoor chicken coop, as I often use the house as a place marker. The second I said the word chicken, the lady stopped talking and went very quiet. She then began to ask what the owner and I had spoken about, and I briefly ran over the conversation, including the detail that the owner had spoken to two psychics. The lady was a little confused, so she revealed to me that Squeak's owner had contacted 3 psychics, and not 2, as I was told. The third animal psychic has spoken to the owners, revealing a more morbid reading, which is why I believe the owner only mentioned 2 over the phone, because no one really wants to hear or believe that their beloved animal has died. The third animal psychic had described to them that sadly, Squeak was in a lot of pain, couldn't move her legs for some reason. Squeak was within hearing distance of chickens. As soon as those words left the woman's mouth, I was in disbelief. The remains weren't more than 200 yards from the chicken coop, and I just couldn't understand how someone would have been able to pull that information out of nowhere. I still get chills up my spine thinking about it. Finally meeting up with the searcher and showing her body, it had been 2 days and the skeleton wasn't as intact as I first discovered it. But after inspection, she gave me a personal opinion that she believed it was Squeak. I was told a few days later that DNA testing would have to be done in order to confirm it, but sadly, only the mother of Squeak was still alive, so they were unable to determine it. I have never met someone who loved their dog so much and never had had such an explainable spine-tingling experience in my life. To this day, Squeak, who is still missing. It's interesting about the two psychics having roughly the same story, but the stories were so vague. And then for the third psychic to have so much more detail, I'm gonna go on a whim and say that maybe some of those psychics weren't psychic. But what do I know? And that's just heartbreaking. Like, if she really wasn't able to move her legs and she's just laying there. Squeak. Well, hopefully that was Squeak, and hopefully the body was put to rest in a respectful way so she can rest. But that was very interesting. So sad. Why did I do this to myself? Why did I do this to you? I'm sorry. As always, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I don't know about you, but I'm definitely going to go love on my pets after hearing those stories. Some really warming and touching to the heart, and others I wasn't expecting to be as upsetting. So there's that. Feel free to follow us on any of our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, we have a Patreon, so definitely go check that out to see if you'd like to subscribe to any of the tiers. As always, I hope you have a wonderful morning, evening, afternoon, wherever you are, and I will talk to you later.